Okay. Actually going to do this in four separate little hunks. In the plenary session yesterday, we talked about two sets of items that directly relate to the due process handbook and the work we're doing there. One regarding the possible introduction of board agenda decisions, and one the thinking we were doing around paragraph 5.6 of the due process handbook regarding consultations, if we added or if the board added something to its standard setting agenda outside of the the periodic agenda review. In addition, we talked about we had two separate sets of presentations and breakout sessions, one about timeliness and one about comment letters. Both of those are relevant to our thinking about the due process handbook in connection with the due process handbook review, but frankly, the thrust of those conversations was more around is there anything in the handbook that keeps us from getting to where we would want to be with respect to those two items? And if so, how do we fix it? On the first item, which deals with board agenda decisions, there was some thought expressed that the board may already have the tools at its disposal that it needs without adding agenda decisions to its toolkit. I think that my own personal view, as I expressed it at that session, and I think Sue also expressed what I think is the board's view, that the equivalent tool is in fact not necessarily available to the board, and that lay behind some of the inquiry we are undertaking. I think in the context of the feedback we're getting and what we heard from you folks, it's important for us to properly explain the need and rationale for introducing agenda decisions by the board, if in fact that's what we do. We heard that we should be mindful that board agenda decisions or an equivalent process could be perceived as blurring the lines between the work of the board and the work of the interpretations committee. That is something we definitely should be mindful of. I think we heard that if board agenda decisions are introduced, sort of three points. One, there should be appropriate safeguards in place to prevent board agenda decisions from becoming a common occurrence. Two, there should be at least as much due process around board agenda decisions as there is around committee agenda decisions. And three, that the method of dissemination of any such board agenda decisions should be broad, and such material should be widely available in the same manner as other board and committee decisions. Joanna, at the end of the session, asked for a vote, and a majority of the advisory council, albeit with significant dissent, supported giving the board a tool equivalent to the committee agenda decision tool under the conditions that I described earlier. I think that's what we came out with on the first set of issues. On the second set, regarding consultation when items are moved onto the agenda, I think the first thing we learned and or heard is that we need to be clear on the objective of this paragraph. And I mean, I think the three of us agree and don't mind admitting that there was a little bit of lack of clarity around the question, and I think, frankly, that's because we have to think more about explicitly about the purpose of the paragraph. We certainly are taking that away. I think the objective of the consultation that 5.6 embodies includes strategic, technical, and research considerations. I think we heard that there, and we appreciate that there may be a conflict between the requirements of 5.6 as they're currently constructed and timeliness. There was some input we received that we need to consider whether and how the Advisory Council and other bodies could give consideration in the case of the Advisory Council, for example, between their two semi-annual meetings. There was also some thought on the other side of that, that given the occasions when the board would need to consult by when it was moving items, that the consultation at the twice yearly meetings should suffice. So there's some things for us to wrestle with there. And finally, I think this is partly feedback we heard and partly, I think, where we came in, but I think put the two together. The proper issue here on the table with respect to 5.6 is not how and whether to reduce the level of consultation or transparency, either with the Advisory Council or any other stakeholder, but it's we should be explicit and that perhaps there should be more flexibility as to when the right time to seek the consultation could be, beyond what 5.6 currently provides, and whether there's a way to do that and improve the process is, I think, what we have to take away. On timeliness, I think we heard clearly that there's a balance between timeliness and due process. We heard that timeliness, the concern about timeliness can grows at least in part out of the reputation survey, and that is, as we mentioned earlier yesterday, one of the drivers of the review of the due process handbook. The organization's mission, we take away and we agree, is to produce high quality standards and not quick standards. A thorough due process helps to maintain that quality and also the credibility of our various processes. We should be prepared to be more explicit about saying that to our stakeholders. There should be consideration of how to consult in a more timely fashion, possible use of technology. Overall, and I think this was Joanna's words, we need to be nimble in our engagement. We certainly heard you about that. We heard we are not and we should not be talking about a reduction in the comment letter periods, but about transparency. A part of the timeliness issue is a perception, and I think we heard feedback that is consistent with that. The need to manage expectations and better communicate with our stakeholders is an important element of reducing the reputational risk here. The last thing I think we took away on this subject is that while addressing the timeliness issues relating to standard setting is important, an important element of the due process handbook review, addressing the timeliness issue should focus at least as much in part on the timeliness in the context of where we think the strategic priorities of the board and the committee are going to be over the next few years, which is less standard setting and more implementation, application, interpretation, education, and the like. And how our reputation regarding timeliness relates to the level of the board's responsiveness to stakeholder concerns that arise in the context of what we are going to be focusing on, or what the board is going to be focusing on in the coming years. Finally, the session on comment letters. I think we heard the importance of being creative and transparent around the potential mechanisms for receiving comments and other feedback. Perhaps a more interactive format for consultative documents. Consider whether there are any changes to the due process handbook that would be necessary or useful to reflect this. Obviously, one of the things we took away, and we'll think hard about that. I think we heard from the council that it's your view that the evolution away from formal comment letters has already begun, and that the receipt of comments and feedback is moving towards a spectrum within which there are pros and cons at both ends, and in being effective in getting feedback, we have to think about that. We should have a range of tools at our disposal to receive information in different ways and at different times, depending on the nature of the consultation and the stakeholders group. The important thing about the due process handbook here is that it should not prevent the staff and the board and the committee from having the flexibility to experiment with what works best to obtain the best feedback. We certainly heard the view that technology can be used and should be used to improve the efficiency of the process, to go through and analyze comments and feedback received. We heard the need to have safeguards around technology that would be required to ensure the accuracy and reliability of feedback. And finally, we heard some thinking around making the comment process more relevant to users and preparers and being more effective at stimulating participation. One of the things we heard, and it relates to not this meeting, but the last meeting of the Advisory Council, is that keeping the effects analysis embedded throughout our standard setting process could be used, and if used effectively, should help in this regard, for example, in increasing participation by our various stakeholders. And Joanna, that's where I would leave it. Thank you. I want to thank you again for this feedback, which we have. It's partly, not fully reflected here. And this has been a very helpful session for me and for the staff. Thank you.